Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, live from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You want to chime in on the football stuff from last night, do so on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We'll get into the J.R. Smith stuff with the Cavaliers a little bit. Quincy Enunwa from the Jets, and Antoine Bethea is going to join us a little bit later. Arizona Cardinals defensive back. But Tiki, right now we got a chance to chat with one of the great college coaches of all time. And his team's off to a good start again. No surprise. Four games, three wins. 11th in the country. Tom Izzo of the Spartans. Coach, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. I don't know why we're talking. It's still football season, man. My favorite time of year, Kiki. Tiki, and we're ruining it.
I know, right?
With basketball games. Well, I don't know why.
Well, the problem is Michigan State, your football squad is just a little bit underperforming this year.
Yeah,
you know? It is what it is.
Believe it or not, we got a zillion injuries, and we haven't played quite as well, but a zillion injuries, and that's a good excuse, but that's reality. Coach can't – you know, I get a kick out of football, guys. So, Tiki, you got to tell me why.
Yeah.
They always say, you know, next man up, and it sounds so macho and so right. If the next man up was as good as the guy starting, he'd be starting. So, the next man up is all great in theory, but in reality, it's not very good.
No, it's not.
Well said.
Because the guy who was the first man up was the better one.
And yeah, for a reason.
Is a reason. How often do you and Coach Antonio get together and talk about philosophies or anything like that? Does that happen frequently?
Oh, a lot, yeah. You know, I've been so fortunate here, and you guys know I love football. I mean, mm-hmm. I do with my buddy Mariucci and everything. But I really, it started back with George Perlis. Of course, Nick Saban and I came in together, and I've always had a great relationship. And Mark was here with Nick. We kind of came in as assistants together. I was an assistant. He was an assistant. Nick was, you know, the head coach then. And so it's been a long time, and I was on the group that hired him, and so yeah, we live about a half a block from each other. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I imagine that relationship is important when things go awry. And I hate to go back here, but I will, just because I know that you guys handled this well, considering the turmoil that was going, the Larry Nassar situation that embroiled Michigan State. I know you guys had conversations. It dipped into your programs a little bit. How has it moved forward from what we all experienced from the outside looking in last season?
Well, you'll never appreciate what you see from the outside looking in. I mean, it was a difficult time. There's no question. And Mark and I, once the AD and president, we were the only two left standing. And so we did lean on each other a lot. Our families did. But, I don't know if anything gets resolved. I mean, all I want to be is part of the solution. I mean, it really wasn't, Larry Nassar wasn't anybody that we knew or Mark knew or, you know, it just the worst situation. I still, to this day, will always feel bad for the survivors. And yet at the same time, what we're trying to do now is make sure that we're part of the solution and getting everything back in order. And so we're working toward that, too. But Mark and I spent a lot of time together through that, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Tom Izzo was with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Coach, let's get into your team a little bit here. 3-1, only lost to a terrific Kansas squad. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him. It's funny. I mentioned Mex before. I was talking to Mex earlier today. We were running down your schedule. Tiki, listen to this. I don't know why you would willingly sign up for this, Tom. Thanksgiving, UCLA. All right. Tough test, but, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, at Louisville, they've got a new coach, Chris Mack, who's very good from Xavier. 3 days after that, remember, the conference of the Big Ten opens up early.
Right.
They open up at Rutgers. 3 days after that, they play a ranked Iowa team. And then 5 days after that, they go down, they play the Florida Gators. I mean, you don't have Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges anymore. What are you doing here, Tom?
Well, yeah, you forgot that after Thanksgiving, we either play North Carolina or Texas the next day.
Oh, that's so, right. That is right. That is right.
I didn't want to correct you and embarrass you.
That's okay.
I just want to tell you the truth.
That's all right. I ran down a lot. I mean, come on. It's a lot there. Come on.
Yeah, that's going to be six tough games in a very short period of time. But as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, you know, it's kind of been the way. You guys know we've always scheduled, you know, big. It started because we were trying to get on TV back when the Fab Five, you know, we'd just come off that at Michigan, and we were trying to, you know, kind of capture our own identity up here. And I think it worked. The problem is we kept playing them. I think in the last 20 years, we've played more ranked teams than anybody in the country. And you know, I guess I'm proud of that. My record maybe isn't quite as good, but I think the one advantage, guys, of basketball over football is you can schedule and lose a couple games and your world doesn't end.
Mm-hmm.
Where in football, boy, it's so difficult. In college, you lose a game and you're in trouble. You lose two and you're dead, you know, and that's what makes it more difficult in their sport.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned Jared, of course, fourth overall, Memphis, and Miles went 12th overall. Mm-hmm. Early on, you know, a couple of years after you took the job, early 2000s, Mateen, Mo P, we all remember those teams. Jason Richardson went, I think, fourth or fifth overall.
Zach Randolph, yeah, those were good days.
Oh, Zach Randolph, terrific career. And it was a while, even Shannon Brown and Mo Agard, but there was a little while before going through the history of the Michigan State program with you where you've had two players go in the first round. I feel like this is a very, while you've had it a few times, it's been a little bit. And I feel like this is a very different team, very different circumstance for you. Five freshmen you try to juggle. Does it feel different this year? Because it seems different on the outside a little bit.
Hell yeah, it feels different. We're not Kentucky and Duke where we just kind of, you know, re-bring in another Zion Williamson or something. But I was fortunate. I mean, both Jaren and Miles are incredible guys, too. You know, they weren't just great players. And so I kind of miss them as people around here. You know, they were very self-motivated and good students. I mean, they just had the whole package. But it's different. But, you know, the one thing we have, you know, the last 2 years, it was all freshmen and sophomores, and now we do have a few juniors in Winston and a kid named Langford and, of course, Nick Ward. We've got a couple seniors that had been injured that are back. So we've got a different team. It's not quite as talented, but it's a lot more experienced. So I don't know. You know, they always have that argument, what's more important, experience or talent? I tell you, you got to have some talent, but you do have to have some experience. As you can see, you know, Kentucky's went through it where – you know, you just don't automatically get the Final Fours or win championships just with talent. So
that's fair.
The combination is there.
Okay. Tom Izzo is with us, of course, the great coach of Michigan State, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You know, Coach, you talk about that experience versus talent debate that you have to have in your mind. And Coach K, as you mentioned, when down at Duke, is completely flipped. I mean, it used to be you got to be there for three or four years if you go to Duke. Now he's got the one and done. He's the master of the one and done. Heck, you might have three of those kids leave this year. Have you felt pressure? I know you talk about, you know, Cassius Winston and Joshua Langford and Nick Ward, your veterans, so to speak, that are there. But have you felt pressure to start going that way as well, to get these one and done kids who want to come to school? They're fantastic, but they only want to be there for a year.
Well, I wouldn't kick them out of here. I promise you that. I mean, but, you know, there's really only guys, I don't know what you think, but some years 4 or 5, some years 7 or 8. I mean, there's never more than 8 or 9 kids that have that kind of impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kentucky and Duke kind of get their share of them, and then maybe we get one here, Arizona gets one, or Carolina gets one.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as you think, but you know, there is some truth. I think Jay Wright has maybe been the master. We were in a Final Four together in 2009, and I said, you're going to be able to get better players. And you know, the next couple of years, he got better players, but maybe not as good at teams. And I think he coined the phrase, I think it was Jay that said, you got to get our kind of guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so we've kind of looked at the OKG format. You got to have good enough players. You got to have a couple pros, but you got to have your kind of guy, too. And so I haven't I'm always going to try to get the best players I can get, but I want the best players to be our kind of guy.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But when you look at these one-and-done kids, just to lump them all into one probably insulting phrase, but when you look at them, it seems like they all want to go together, right? It's not like they want to go be individuals somewhere. They all want to – and I think that maybe stems from the youth circuit or the AAU circuit. Is that good for your level of basketball, how these kids are starting to know each other younger and then going together to dominate a program like we're seeing down at Duke this year?
Well, I love talking to Magic about it because, you know, he said when he played for Pat Riley and when they played the Knicks, if you even talked to somebody or the Celtics, you know, you even winked at him as you were running by at half court, you know, before the game, Riley was ready to kill somebody. And, you know, times have changed. AU basketball changes that. I think some of the culture is you're seeing in pro ball now, at least in basketball. I don't think as much in football because of the way the Patriots have been. It seems like no matter who they put in there, they still win championships. But in basketball, you know, whether it's LeBron and that group and what they're trying to do or whether, you know, Chris Paul and trying to go to Houston, it seems like, you know, the Warriors and what they've done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good for any sport. You know, I really don't. I mean, I think you have so much parity in the NFL now, I'm not sure that's good. But if you have so much dominance the other way, I'm not sure that's good. So I'm going to just try to keep getting the guys I can get, coach them, and try to win some championships here and be on your guys' show. That's what I'm going to do.
I love it.
Coach, coaching matters. That's why the Pats can throw anybody in, and that's why you continually in Michigan State,
you know,
always say coaching
matters. I'm glad you said that because I think in this day and age, we sometimes forget that a little bit. I mean, players matter too. I mean, I figured out really early in my career, guys, if I got better players, I'm a better coach.
It's true.
But you got to have a little bit of both, and you got to have people that buy in. And you know, the one thing that, you know, I've been lucky here, even though Draymond, it's been a little crazy lately, but yeah. With Draymond, with Magic, you got to have guys that put winning as a priority. Yeah. And I think most people just think everybody does. And as you guys know, that's not the case. Yeah. There's so many distractions out there now. You got to find guys where winning is important.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to ask you? Tom Izzo, of course, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The way you mentioned Mooch before, the long relationship you've had with Steve Mariucci, your affinity for football, just an old school blue collar guy. And we've had you on the show a lot, so we've talked about some of your coaching methods, you kind
shoulder
of football drills. Can you see?
Yeah, now they sue you if you do that. I've gotten weaker, guys. I've gotten wimpier.
That's what I was going to ask you. Can you still coach with the authority and the toughness that you coached 10 years ago? Can you still get away with that?
Well, you know, I just told you guys that I think a lot of us are looking for our kind of guys. And the one thing I did learn, you know, that you can't be, you can't try to be someone different than you are. Now you can make adjustments to that as I think all of us have done. But, you know, once in a while I say, you know, I get some of my former guys back. I'll run into Cleves and Peterson Smith or Jason Richardson was in for a football game. And they're telling stories about how it was. I go, God, I like those days better than these days. You know, nobody cared. Everything wasn't publicized. But you know what the bottom line was? And again, Tiki, you've been in sports, you know, played and everything. But the bottom line is that kids don't want to be pushed. Yeah. Kids don't want to win. It's just there's so many distractions. You have to get through all that. And sometimes you got to get through it a little tougher than others. So I probably changed a little bit, but I'm not going to try to change too much. Ain't
good.
Broke, why fix it, right?
Good.
Yeah, you're right.
Good.
As long as you're not doing anything that's actually going to get you sued.
Yeah, no, you can't beat anybody up.
No.
The football pads, I mean, that was my way of saying I had some soft guys. I didn't want them to get hurt, so I put some helmets and pads on them.
That's
well,
awesome.
You forced Draymond onto the actual football field, I think. You know, speaking of Draymond, because he's been in the news.
It's a big story,
the drama world right now with KD. And I'm interested if he's always been like that. You know, back when he was with you, was he that energetic, that confrontational? But I'm not saying confrontational in a bad way, but he's confrontational. Was he always like this?
You know, I hate to say this because it's still, look, I'm just sticking up for him, but I think you guys would really enjoy him. I think you'd like to play with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, does he hold people accountable? Does he call people out? He probably does sometimes too much, but at the same time, as we all know, there's more stories behind the stories, you know? And, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, blows up a little bit too much, you know, and I say that. But I think when you have a great passion and you want, and winning's important, you kind of don't tolerate anything less. And I don't know all the things that happened that night. I saw the film. Whatever. I don't know what was said the other way. So I'm not going to condone or condemn, but I am going to say this. I've had a lot of good players here, but I have not had any more winning guys than him. I mean, if sacrifices points to win, no problem. Sacrifice rebounds to win, no problem. Confrontational, we had some interesting huddles back in the day, but you know what I always knew? I always knew how important it was to him, and I always cherished that. And, you know, I don't mind a argument here and there.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He's a loose wire, but in a good way, and
it's a rare way, man.
Hey, listen, every great team's got a motor guy, and when you have a motor guy, there's going to be bouts of volatility, and I think it keeps you on edge. I think it keeps you locked in and laser-focused, and quite frankly, it keeps you committed to what you're pursuing. Every great team in every sport has had somebody kind of like Draymond Green.
You know what? I really, really, really would agree with that, you know. And the problem is now, as we all know, everything just becomes so public so fast, you know. I mean, I'm sure the locker rooms in football and basketball 10, 15, 20 years ago were as crazy or crazier. The huddles were crazy. And, you know, that's just part of sports, you know. But now somebody's videoing it, filming it, commenting on it, and I don't know. I still like the guys that hold people accountable. As long as you hold yourself accountable to the same standards, I got no problem with it.
I hear you, Tom Izzo. Tom, final thing, we certainly got to go to this. This was, I think it was November 10th, November 11th against Florida Gulf Coast, and you weren't too happy, not with the officials, but the way the NCAA, in your estimation, by the way, I agree, I do college basketball games. I did one last night. It's ridiculous. You can't move. It's just stifled with whistles. There's 45 to 50 foul shots every game. It's a joke. And it's stripping away the beauty of the game. You were legitimately bothered by this. Mm-hmm. Does this ever change? I mean, are they trying to fix this, or is this just the new college basketball?
Well, you know, when somebody gets hurt, I think Haas got hurt last year, and no, he's at Purdue, and it did hurt their chances to move on. It was just a freak thing. I mean, if you play in sports, I mean, just because football is supposed to be a contact sport, I mean, every sport's contact. You know, dancing is contact, for God's sake. I watch Dancing with the Stars sometimes. Somebody can get hurt doing that.
Right.
So I'm totally to the point where we are just playing a game where let's just throw the ball out, nobody guard anybody, and see if we can make it an NBA All-Star game. You know, I don't agree with that, and I don't think most people do. I mean, I don't think you go to a game to watch. You know, the difference with football and basketball, guys, you can get a 15-yard penalty for holding, and you can get nine of them, and it costs you a lot of yards. But that great, you know, left tackle doesn't leave the game. He's still there. In our sport, a couple fouls.
Yeah.
The best players are sitting on the bench. Or did you go to see a free throw contest? Are the best players sitting on the bench? I mean, I'm all for freedom of movement. It's not like it was when I first started. You chuck every cutter. But now it's just so many touch fouls and freedom of – I told the refs, freedom of movement. I said, we had one timeout there because they were checking the monitor. It took 4 minutes and 8 seconds. I said, nobody moved. We're just sitting on the bench, you know. And I think that my problem with it is not the officials. It's I thought the NCAA, and I just don't know who they have on those committees. You know, we get administrators, we get maybe one coach, we get no officials, and we get a bunch of administrators. I mean, that's they never played the game. How can a conference commissioner know what he's talking about?
Let me ask you this, Tom. I wish we had more time, but I almost get the sense that if this continues, that this is the thing that could drive you away from coaching, maybe a little earlier than you would like.
Well, it frustrates me. I mean, but every level's got its problems. And you know, I mean, I got to deal with them. I'm not sitting here complaining. I just said on that night, you know, ironically, there were four calls made and one guy ejected, and they were all against the opponent. So I'm so dumb, I'm sticking up for the opponent. That's how crazy I am. But I do appreciate the game, and I do appreciate what you just said. You didn't go to watch 50 free throws.
Nope.
You didn't.
No.
So everybody says, well, the team's got to adjust. Well, to a certain extent, we've got to figure out that it still is a contact sport. Every sport's a contact sport. It can't be crazy and ridiculous. But I think I'm going to say something that to me is un-American. I think we have to give the officials that are good the right to determine whether a call. Don't make everything a exact science, because it's not. Every move is different. And hell, if we did it that way, they could call holding in football on every play in every game.
Yeah, and nobody would want to see that.
Ugh.
No.
Tom Izzo.
Yep, coach, the Texas Techs.
One of a kind.
The Texas Techs are gone. You got a tough schedule ahead on Thanksgiving, UCLA.
Don't forget the Carolina possibility.
The Carolina
he's going to get on you if you do.
Possibility and the Las Vegas Invitational. Yep. Good luck, and thanks for hopping on again,
coach. Hey, thanks, guys. It. Hopefully I'll get to be on later on in the year, and we'll predict the Super Bowl. No, take care, guys.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Iz. Appreciate it. Tom Izzo, head coach, Michigan State. A little late. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. Certainly always worth having a nice extensive chat with Coach. That was awesome.
He's
good
great.
Stuff.
He's great.
And he treats us well, too. We appreciate the time, Coach. All right, coming up, Antoine Bethea in about 10 minutes. Cardinals D-back. Talk about Josh Rosen, some other NFL stuff. Coming up before that, though, next segment, J.R. Smith just looking to get out, sabotaging his stint with the Cavs. I mean, it's funny. The power of the players now is... without compromise, they are running the show. J.R. Smith overplay his hand, or is this going to work out well for him? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
This week on my Tiki Barber's podcast, I sit down with one of the most interesting kickers in NFL history, former Chief and Jet, Nick Lowry. Now, we've both stepped into the cannabis industry, and he's working with a company that's doing some really interesting things as it pertains to this dangerous opioid epidemic that has been utilized or been talked about in this country with athletes and others. Tiki Barber's podcast is brought to you by Geico. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news for you. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Sirius XM 206. Really good stuff with Tom Izzo. A little late, so this will be a really short segment. And then we'll get with Antoine Bethea, who's played with some great young quarterback. Peyton back in the day. Early days, Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Kaepernick for a minute in San Francisco. And, of course, now Josh Rose with the card. So, a few things to talk to him about. J.R. Smith. By the way, the update to the story... after he called out the Cavs for tanking, he has since been... he left the team. They're working out a trade. He'll never play a minute for them again.
Is he wrong? Is he wrong to call them out for tanking? Because he and a bunch of the veterans just saw seen their minutes decline. Obviously, LeBron left, and the situation was clearly not the same. So playing to win a championship, even though it's stated... is clearly not what was on their agenda. So you don't tank, but you get young players lots of minutes. Is he wrong for saying the obvious?
I don't think he's wrong for calling out the Cavaliers if that's what he believes. Where he's wrong is that they're not tanking. They're just, they're not very good. And, you know, it's kind of a shade of gray here. J.R. Smith is not good enough to influence any bottom line if he's one of the main members of a team. I mean... LeBron's gone. Kevin Love's hurt.
Yep.
You tell me how the hell this team's going to win games. You got Tristan Thompson, who can only rebound.
I hear you.
He can't do anything else.
Have Tristan Thompson, I got to look at the stats. I don't know if his minutes have shrunk significantly.
Oh, he's playing almost 30 minutes a game, Tristan.
So no.
I don't believe.
So it's really just J.R. Smith. He's just mad because he's not getting the minutes that he thinks he should be getting.
I mean, listen, Colin Sexton, there was a little issue with that early that he wasn't playing as much, and then some players said he wasn't really getting a grasp of the NBA. Not that he wasn't smart, but that he didn't really understand some concepts. Smart in the basketball sense, or
he's
at least picking it up
old.
Quick.
He's 19 years old. 20 or 20 years old.
I hear you.
He's young.
Yeah. Played 1 year, right, at Bama?
Yep.
But Jordan Clarkson's playing 25 minutes a game. Colin Sexton's playing 26 and a half. Rodney Hood's playing 27. George Hill's playing 27. The kid Osman's playing 30. Tristan Thompson's playing 28. And what does he expect? I mean, who's on this team that's I think he's really overstating what he is and, by extension, what some of his teammates are. Who's good on this team?
Not very many people other than Kevin Love, who's not playing.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I mean, the thing is it a bad thing, though? It's not. I don't know if it's...
like as a philosophy?
Yeah.
To tank?
You got it. Not to tank, but just to let the young kids play. Let them learn.
It's smart.
You have to do
it. It's smart.
Otherwise, they're going to sit on the bench and watch bad veterans lose.
Fizdale's doing that.
Yes.
Fizdale's doing that. You know, I still watch my Knicks every night. I'm wearing a Knicks sweatshirt. I still love them. You know, I want to see how Knox plays. I want to see if Neil Akita gets it going. I want to see when KP comes back.
Right.
I want Trey Burke. Some of you know, Moutier's getting minutes now. They picked him up. I know. They've got four wins. The Knicks are lucky if they somehow scrounge out 20.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right.
Because it beats seeing somebody like... God. George Hill, you know, no disrespect, who's a good pro.
Yep.
But George Hill's 33, 34 years old. Why would I want to see him play 33 minutes a night to salvage 20, 30 wins?
You're right.
30
wins? He's not your future.
For what?
He's not your future.
No, I'll take my lumps with a young team. Knicks have the youngest roster. You're going to get your brains beaten every night for the most part. You simultaneously get the kids' minutes, and then you still have a great draft pick.
So J.R. Smith may be correct, but just don't say it.
But I don't think he's correct.
Because the issue is he's forcing... By saying this, he's forcing his way out.
So and listen, I have no problem. He's got a couple of more meaningful years where he's still, where he'll still maintain much of his
athleticism.
Why can't I say that? Yeah. Much of his athleticism.
Yes,
he's only 33 and he's still pretty bouncy. He's a good athlete and he's a really streaky shooter. We know that. He's also, you know, sometimes a little spacey. You get the whole package with JR. I don't blame him. If I'm him, I wouldn't want to ride out my final two or three prime years for a team that's going to be terrible. But I don't think that they're tanking, because if they were tanking, like if Kevin Love was playing 20 minutes a game and Kevin Love was healthy, and, you know, Thompson, not that I think Tristan Thompson's very, you know, he's tough. He's tough as hell.
He's not very versatile.
He's not very diverse. He's a rebounder.
Yeah, got a couple of skills. That's it.
That's it. If he was playing 17 minutes and, you know, okay, then I could see the writing's on the wall. They're just not very good. So it's a fine line, tanking or just playing 9 or 10 guys who are probably bad enough to win 20 games, if that.
Less than that.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they've won a road game yet this year. I don't think they have. But they're a mess. And you know, where is JR going to go? Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, the Lakers could use shooters. I mean, that's one thing. I don't know exactly how LeBron feels about him. I think he likes him.
I think so.
I think he does. Playoff meltdown, yeah. NBA Finals meltdown aside, with the timeout. But you know, he can stretch it, and if you can identify when he's hot and when he's not. And he's okay with sitting down when he's not and only playing 17, 18 minutes when he's not shooting the ball well, he might be a nice asset for the Lakers.
And I think he'd be okay with that for a team that's ascending.
I agree. I would agree with that. All right, T, coming up, Antoine Bethea, Cardinals defensive back. We'll chat with him right after Jay Berman's update, which is right now. Here's Jay.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206. Time for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. Take a look at somebody who's getting it done this week. It is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Teak, he's flat out balling, pumping in 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists the past week as the Bucks move on to 12-4 on the season. Good for the second best spot in the Eastern Conference. Bucks take on the Blazers tomorrow, and Portland's good. That is in Portland, so that's going to be a good matchup. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. All right. By the way, it's kind of tilted a little bit here. The shootout last night, the Coliseum, over 1,000 yards, 56 first downs, 14 touchdowns, over 100 points. We want to know the direction of the league leaning entirely on offense now. Is it good for the NFL? At one point when we first dropped it on Twitter, it was like 50-50. Now it's going the other way. 47% of you say, yep, love it, can't get enough offense. 53% say, nope, way too much, a little bit too easy. And I would imagine our next guest would vote for B because he's a defensive player, plays secondary. He wants to hit people. He wants to make plays. And he's been doing it for a while. Three-time Pro Bowler Antoine Bethea of the Cardinals is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Antoine, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
No, I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
We are good.
Good.
Do you love all this offense that's infiltrating the NFL? And how do you stop it, really, I guess is the question.
Oh, man, y'all said it before, man. I don't like it, even though last night watching the game, it was entertaining. But, you know, as a defensive player, man, you like to be physical. You like to hit, and, you know, just the way it's going now, it's just making it tough on for the guys on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, you guys can't hit anybody. You can't check anybody. You can't, I mean, you get slapped on the wrist, or really you get a penalty that creates a first down for anything that you do when you're touching these wideouts. Has it been harder or at least coached differently to you guys this year?
It has. You know, especially, you know, defensive linemen, guys blitzing, how to approach a quarterback, you know, whether to lay him down or whatever the case may be. It's tough in that instance, even when a quarterback is running. You know, if he's going to give himself up, you know, it's just, so like I said, it's just a lot of thinking, and, you know, just how fast the game is going, how fast the guys are moving out there. It's just a lot of thinking in just a short amount of time. But as a defensive back, you know, you really can't, you know, be physical receivers anymore. So as a defensive player, man, it's frustrating, but, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to learn and learn the rules and try to play within the rules.
Is what it is. Got to adjust, right? Antoine Bethea with us. A lot of respect for him. Not only is he a really good player, but he earned it. You know, what, fifth, sixth round pick? What were you, sixth round, right out of Howard?
Yeah, sixth round, yeah.
Man, you have really earned it. So that's a testament to not only your passion for the game, but your flexibility.
Yeah,
you
play acumen for the game.
Acumen, that's really what I was looking for. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you played for – this is your third team, and you played for the Colts the first 8 years with Peyton, and then you played with Andrew Luck his first 2 years in the league. You played for the Niners, made a Pro Bowl the team out there, and you played for a couple of years with Cap, and now, of course, Josh Rosen, first-round pick for the Cardinals. You've played with a very interesting assortment of quarterbacks. Can you I want to go back to what Teague said about the rules here. Can you imagine Peyton Manning at the age of 28 or 29, when you played with him, throwing against these rules right now? He would throw 70 touchdowns.
Man, he had a field day when he was playing.
I know.
Like you said, I can only imagine, you know, what he would do, you know, having, you know, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark, and those guys. He would have a field day.
Yeah, no, you're right.
How good is Josh Rosen now? Yeah. What do you see from Josh?
Man, Josh is going to be good. You know, he's way beyond his years. You know, off the field, on the field, very smart. You know, ball placement is amazing. Obviously, you know, he's going to go through some learning experiences being a rookie. You know, seeing some different things that, you know, defenses throw at him week in and week out. But he's going to be a great one, and you know, he has a great coach and Byron Leftwich that's going to get him right. But, you know, Josh, he's going to be special.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Byron Leftwich there, and it's interesting you bring him up because we had Bruce Arians on maybe it was 2 years ago, and Bruce had brought him onto the staff and was talking about how impressive he was. What does he bring? Because we know Byron is the quarterback, this big, you know, hulking quarterback when he was playing for the Jags. But how's he been as a coach? Because that transition is sometimes hard, especially because he's youngish. I mean, he's probably close in age to you. You know, what's he been like for Josh? Because you mentioned that.
No, I think he's been good. Like you said, I think it's always good to have. I'm not gonna say always good, but sometimes it's good where you have a coach that's played the game and been in your same position. So he can sit back and see what you see when you're out there playing.
Yeah.
And he can kind of tell you like, well, okay, this is doable, or yeah, we're not gonna be able to do that. But having that experience, and like you said, you know, being a younger coach who's not too far removed from actually playing will help Josh a lot, help the learning curve. So, you know, Byron, man, he's been great, you know, just have him out there, even, you know, just talking ball with him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good teacher for Josh.
Well, good. And he's also getting the ball to David Johnson more frequently than he was, who's such a
right.
good, he's such a good player, David. You know, it's interesting when I think about Josh, because he has got, we just talked about Byron Leftwich, David Johnson we talked about, but Larry Fitzgerald, who's the old head, I mean, everywhere in the league, not just in Arizona. But he still plays at such a high level. And the touchdown that he scored at the end of the game where Josh put it right where it needed to be, he snagged it out of the air and gave y'all a chance to win. You ultimately lost to the Raiders. But, you know, talk about Larry's influence, not just on Josh, but on this team, because he's the consummate professional, and he has been really for a long time.
Yeah, man. When you talk about Fitz, man, you know, 15 years in the league, like you said, you know, NFL Man of the Year, you know, you can talk about all the things that he does on the field, but he does a lot off the field. So having the younger guys, and even myself, you know, having a guy, a future Hall of Famer in the building each and every day, you know, you can learn from the things that he does. You know, he's a pro's pro. He does the things day in and day out that you need to do to have longevity in this league, and he's still playing at a high level, even, you know, with it being his 15th year in the league. So he does a lot for this team. He doesn't have to say much. He can just go and do what he do day in and day out. Like I said, guys watches his every move, and He's a great teammate to have.
Oh, to Antoine Bethea for the Cards. I want to get to your book in a sec, but I want to ask you about your head coach. I'm reading some stuff this morning, and, you know, not that it's necessarily fair, but it's the modern NFL. I guess as a first-year head coach, if things go sideways early, you got to start talking about your job security. I'm reading all these articles about Steve Wilks talking about, you know, I'm not worried about next year. I'm not worried if I'll be back. As ridiculous as that seems, do you see a future star head coach? Is he a little over his head? What do you see from your coach so far, Steve Wilks?
Man, I love Coach Wilks, man. The energy that he brings, the knowledge he has of the game. You know, I love him. I think he is going to be a head coach for many years in this league. Like you said, it's unfortunate, the season that we're having, and it's unfortunate that, you know, that he has to answer these questions, you know, with it being his first year. But like you said, that's part of the business, and I know he understands that. But I don't think he's in over his head. You know, I just think it's just one of those years. I don't think anybody at the beginning of the year would say that, you know, we'll be 2-8 at this point of the year. But it is what it is. But I think Coach Wilks, man, he's going to be a great head coach. He is a great head coach, but I love his energy. I love his attitude. I love, you know, the direction where he's trying to take this team. And, you know, he's definitely a good guy, a great guy.
Yeah, and it helps to have guys and vets like you. And we talked about Larry already, but you have your book coming out, Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog. And BT mentioned this earlier, how you went to Howard University. It's not because they offered you a scholarship. Nobody offered you a scholarship, and you walked on there, made the team, switched to safety, and then now you've been to the Pro Bowl three times. You got a Super Bowl ring with the Colts back in 2006. And your mottos and your lessons that you talk about, I think, are valuable for a team that's going through with what the Cardinals are going through right now. No excuses, no explanations, you know, never get complacent. Tell us about this book, why you decided to write it, and what you hope people who read it get out of it.
Man, it was something that, you know, it's been on my heart for a few years. And I would think that, you know, anybody, you know, you guys, myself, anybody who's made it to the league or being successful or anything, everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
And everybody should tell their story, not knowing who can, you know, can take some type of motivation from each individual story. So this is my story. I'm telling my story. And at the end of the day, just wanted to be some type of piece of motivational for the readers.
Yeah.
Like you just said, you know, me going to Howard, being a six-round draft pick, and 13 years later still playing in the league, I don't think anybody would have said, Antoine, that's what you would be doing 13 years ago. So I want the readers to, you know, to walk away from reading this book and saying that, you know, yeah, I do have doubters. I do have naysayers. I do have people that tell me what I can and cannot do. But this guy can do it, so I can do it as well.
Yeah. You know, what was the moment, right? There's always a moment in someone's career. For me, it was, I mean, I was 4 years in when Sean Payton changed our offense, and it just fit my style. And I was like, all right, I got this now. When was your moment like that?
Man, I would say it kind of, I would say between my second and third year.
Yeah.
I would say my first year, man, you know, I was just fortunate enough to come into an organization where they were really rolling.
Yeah.
You know, they had the front office was great. Coach Dungy had the team really humming. So I kind of like, you know, I came into a very fortunate situation. But, you know, having guys in the locker room like a Peyton, like a Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Jeff Saturday, just seeing how those guys did it, it was easy for me to sit back and be like, well, okay, these guys are very successful. I should just do what they do. So first year, you know, I'm a rookie, and, you know, I'm kind of going with the flow. You know,
yeah.
I'm going into work. I'm practicing. I'm going home. I'm rushing to go home. But I would say that second year, my third year, is with what really got me to focusing in on how to, you know, take care of my body, how to study film and things of that nature, eating habits. So
yeah.
I would say my second or third year is what really got me to that point.
It's an awesome story, man.
Yeah,
we got to bounce, but Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog, 13 years, couple of Pro Bowls, still going, and you earned it all, man. Happy Thanksgiving, Antoine. Good having you on the show.
All right, thank you. All right.
Hey, be good. Good luck.
Deep voice, too, man.
Yeah, man.
Got to get that guy cutting out
great,
some...
great suit he's got on the cover there.
It's tailored nice, right?
It is.
It's tailored nice. Inbounds, Out of Bounds, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.